the ukulele has always been kind of not in the mainstream, but it has become a mainstream instrument, and partly due to your YouTube video of George Harrison. But there must be some other things in play that is making the ukulele not just a Hawaiian based instrument. What do you think it is?
Oh, well, I think definitely, you know, there was a big hit recently by the band Train, you know, called Hey Soul Sister. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, that song was very, you know, was ukulele driven. I thought the arrangement was fantastic. You know, it really featured the ukulele in a way that was, you know, cool and very mainstream, very hip. And I thought that was fantastic. Other things, I think it's just, you know, yeah, definitely the internet, YouTube, you know, you can type in ukulele and you see all these videos of people playing the ukulele. You have access to, you know, to all this great, you know, ukulele music now. And I think it's something new. It's different for a lot of people. You know, I think people are rediscovering the instrument, realizing that that it's capable of doing a lot more than they once believed. So I think that's exciting. You know, I think that it's an exciting time for the ukulele, and also, you know, I think just the affordability, the portability of the instrument as well. You know, I mean, in this day and age, you know, all our gadgets are getting smaller and smaller because we want to take everything with us. You know, like our little PDAs and, you know, iPads and, you know, and iPhones and laptops. You know, so why not our instruments too? You know, I think the ukulele fits right in, you know, because it's easy to travel with. You just throw it over your shoulder and take it with you anywhere.
Well, I read a quote about the ukulele. Someone said that holding a ukulele is a lot like holding a baby. It's small and it's very personal. And I didn't really realize that until we just we have a newborn now at home. And holding her is like, wow, I'm holding a ukulele. There's something very, very intimate about holding such a small, seemingly fragile thing.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I mean, just physically, you know, when you're holding an ukulele, a lot of your body, because of the size of the instrument, you know, your body, not just your hands and your arms, but, you know, your shoulders and everything just kind of cradles the instrument. You know, you're just cradling the instrument, and in a way that I think is very intimate and very very personal, very friendly, and I think, you know, like when you play other instruments, like for example the guitar, you know, it's the guitar is so bulky that, you know, you feel like you're standing behind the instrument.
Right.
You know, and but with the ukulele, it's a little different because you're surrounding the instrument, and that's a totally different feeling. You know, so it's I totally agree with you. You know, when you say that, yeah, holding an ukulele is like holding a newborn baby.
Now, in many ways, you're a representative for the ukulele as a whole. Do you find that do you take that responsibility seriously to introduce the ukulele to society?
Oh, no, I mean, I think that there are so many people, you know, out there that are doing such a great job at that, you know. I mean, for me, I'm like, you know, like you or anyone else, you know, I'm just a big fan of the instrument. I've been playing it since I was a kid, and I just love seeing it do well. I just love hearing it in these national commercials. I love seeing it on TV, on the internet. I love watching people of all ages pick it up and just become so enamored with the sound and the vibe, you know, of the instrument. I also love it because, you know, the ukulele is to me it's a very well, it's a symbol of Hawaii, you know, of, and that's where I was born and raised. You know, I was born and raised in Hawaii, and a lot of people, when they think of the ukulele, they think of Hawaii. You know, they think of the beaches, or they think of when they got married there, or mm-hmm. had their honeymoon there, or some family vacation. You know, so people equate it with a lot of a lot of positive, you know, memories, maybe experiences, and I think that that it's a wonderful thing. I just feel so honored that I, you know, kind of get to be get to play a small role in all of that, and just be able to share and contribute, just my love and admiration for the instrument as well.
Well, if you just join us, we're talking to Jake Shimebukuro. His new album is called Peace, Love, Ukulele, and he is in Louisville at Kentucky Center on Friday to perform at the Kentucky Center. Your new CD, Peace, Love, and Ukulele, has it's quite a varied program you have here. And does that reflect your love of different genres of music?
Yeah, I think different genres of music, but also I wanted to present the ukulele in a different way, in a lot of different ways. You know, as a solo instrument, as a part of the rhythm section, or as an instrument that there's a couple of almost like some ukulele duets on there, you know, some counterpoint stuff, hearing it against different textures, you know, like with the violin or strings, with a full rhythm section, but then also hearing it, you know, alone, just solo by itself. And then kind of the way that I arranged a lot of the songs was I kind of wanted to show how everything, you know, how the songs are being built, actually, you know, like a lot of the songs will start just with the solo ukulele track,
mm-hmm.
and then the rhythm section kicks in later, you know, so that the listener can get a sense, can really get a sense of what the ukulele is doing on its own, you know, because sometimes when the rhythm section kicks in, or you know, when there's all these other instruments playing, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what the uke is doing,
right.
You know, because you're hearing all these things together. So I really was conscious about trying to make that distinction, you know, the separation, so that even when I do perform it solo without the band, you know, after listening to the CD, you don't feel so much like, oh, you know, I really miss the band. You know, at least if there's a little bit of that solo ukulele sound or vibe that you grasp onto from the very beginning, then you can kind of follow, you know, what the ukulele is doing from beginning to the end of the song, and because when I play it solo, you know, it's just the ukulele, you know. So, but hopefully because there's a, you know, with the CD, you know, listeners can use that as a reference,
sure.
And they'll be able to, when I'm playing the song, they'll be able to. After hearing the CD, they'll be able to hear the bass parts, or hear the string lines, or the drum parts, and all of that.
Well, and that may be why it's so surprising for a lot of people to hear a work like "While My Guitar Gently Weeps" or "Bohemian Rhapsody," which is on your new CD, "Peace, Love, and Ukulele," work so well on an instrument that has very little range compared to.
Yeah. I mean, you basically have two octaves, you know, four strings and two octaves to work with, and so it becomes very challenging, you know, when you're trying to cover a song that has, you know, an extensive range, and especially, you know, like a tune like Bohemian Rhapsody, there's so many things going on in that song that it's hard to capture it when you can only play four notes at once. And, you know, so that was quite a challenge, you know, for me. I mean, there were so many times when I just wanted to throw in the white towel, you know, and just just say I don't. This is not possible, you know. Because I think, you know, of course you can, you know, anyone can kind of play the melody, and you can kind of play the right note so that it's recognizable. But a song like Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, it's not just about the notes or the melody or the arrangement, but, you know, the song from beginning to end, you know, it takes you on a journey and it tells a story, and every section, you know, has a certain feel and dynamic. And I think, you know, capturing the spirit and the essence of each part, that's the real challenge. You know, I mean, what Freddie Mercury and Queen, what they created in that studio is just epic. It's just mind blowing, you know. And I think that, you know, with the arrangement, I had to, you know, I went in knowing that I wasn't going to be, I mean, I would have to probably, I could only play maybe 10 or 20% of what was going on in the actual song. You know, I can only cover so much, and I would have to trust that the listening audience would fill in the other parts, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was tough, you know, because, I mean, just finding the right chord voicing, you know, for example, like the Thunderbolts and Lightning, very, very frightening line,
mm-hmm.
you know, that part, you know, just trying to figure out, because the bass is going one way and the vocal lines are going this way. And then, you know, and there's all these lines that are moving away from each other. And the harmonies get so thick and so stacked that you can't even identify which is the lead melody. You know, it's yeah. almost like if you take, you know, it's like everything played together is the melody, you know. So that was really tough to figure out, okay, how am I gonna voice this in a way where it sounds complete and you're hearing all of the lines, you're hearing the essence of the inner voices, you know, moving away from each other and things like that. So that was, I mean, that one line alone, I mean, took me forever to figure out. I think I came up with at least 7 or 8 different ways to play it before I finally, you know, found one that I thought was acceptable. So.
Well, you're really, it's a transcription, but more so than that, it's a realization for your instrument. And I know that guitarists throughout the ages have done opera aria transcriptions and things like that, but they've had to make it work for the instrument. It can't be just a note for note transcription. And mm-hmm. that's why I think works so well with this, and what makes it even so amazing that you were able to do it successfully. Do you have anything in mind to do next that might be along these lines? Another song?
Oh,
are you going to keep that as a surprise?
There's really nothing that comes to mind right now that I'm working on. I mean, of course, there are thousands of songs out there that would be, you know, that would be just, I mean, you know, would be daunting to, you know, attempt on the ukulele, but you know, I mean, I'm just going to take it one step at a time. You know, I think with this arrangement, you know, I mean, it's still a work in progress. I mean, I'm still developing it, even though it's recorded already. So, I mean, already in the live shows, you know, they're already a little bit different from the recording,
mm-hmm.
and I'm adding a few things here and there, you know, and already I feel like I want to go back into the recording studio and redo it now, you know. So, but I think it's just one of those things that's always going to be evolving and changing. I'm just like While My Guitar Gently Weeps, you know. I mean, when I first came up with that arrangement, that was about 6 years ago, and it got on that YouTube site, and you know, and the way that I play it today versus what I recorded on a YouTube site, you know, there's a lot of difference, a lot of subtle changes, you know, that just evolved over the years.
Mm-hmm. Are you working on an official tab book for your music?
Yeah, I am. I started working on it late last year, and I have a few songs already, you know, already tabbed out
So you're doing all that yourself? You're not getting someone to do it for you?
Yeah, I'm doing it myself. Wow. And it's been really it's been extremely excruciating and time consuming.
It's tedious, isn't it?
It really is. But a good friend of mine, Dean Taba, who played bass on the new record, you know, he's really good with using Finale and other software programs. So yeah, so he's been helping me out with that, you know, and because I'm not so good with the computer, you know,
right?
So yeah.
Well, how many hours or how much time during a day do you practice to keep your chops up?
I would say, you know, I mean, you know, and it's not always at just one time, but throughout the day, you know, I probably play. I mean, even if I don't have a concert, you know, I probably play, I would say, at least an hour or two a day. Yeah.
Wow. Do you do exercises, scales, repeatedly to help you with your performance?
You know, probably not as much as I should anymore. I mean, I used to, you know, before, and I think a lot of the things that I do now don't involve. It's not so much repetition, mm-hmm. you know, but it's not so repetitive, but it's more just finding unique ways of doing things, you know, you know, finding ways that I can take advantage of the uniqueness of the instrument, you know, and finding chord voicings that are very unique to the ukulele, you know, that are unique to the ukulele and gives it that little magic, you know, where, you know, it'd be impossible to finger it on a guitar or you'd have to have, you know, I mean, hands like Shaquille O'Neal or something, you know, to build. Because when you have that high G string on the top, you know, there's really a lot that you can do. When you have the A string and the G string, you know, they're only a whole step apart. You know, you can, I mean, there's so many things that you can do, you know. It's like these cluster chords, you know, almost like, you know, you can, it's very easy to get these piano-like voicings, you know, for chords. And so I try to take advantage of that as much as possible.
Is that why you don't play a low G ukulele, or do you?
Yeah, that's why I don't use the low G, because once you have a low G, to me, the uniqueness of the instrument disappears, right? Because all of your chord voicings and your intervals are the same as a guitar.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But
I'm not saying that, you know, that it's bad or anything, you know, but I'm, you know, because I mean, there are some things that you can do with the low G that are just very beautiful, very expressive, you know, but then to me, you know, once you start going down that route, then anything you play can easily be mimicked by a guitar player. Right.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
Now, I saw a video or read a quote of yours that you encourage people to play one instrument for the most part, because it helps you get to know that specific, you know, ukulele better. Does that mean that you only have one or two ukes at home?
Yeah, exactly. What I meant by just playing one instrument, I meant just play the same. You know, like it can apply to any instrument. You know, like if you play the guitar, you know, just if you play the same guitar every day, all the time, and use it for everything, you know, you really learn how to play that particular guitar. You learn all the sweet spots and how to make it sing, you know, how to manipulate your body and your hands to bring out each and every note, right? But then, because every instrument is different, you know, they're like people, they all have their own personalities. And sometimes I feel if you're always playing a different instrument all the time and you're jumping around, you know, I mean, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you kind of, I think you don't, you can't, you don't, it's harder to achieve that relationship with the instrument. You know, you don't feel as bonded, you know, you know, it's different because, you know, as much as you're learning about the instrument, I really believe that the more as you play the instrument is actually learning you as well, you know. So it's learning to respond the way that you want it to respond when you do certain things. Because in the beginning, it doesn't know, right? Sometimes you hit it a certain way and you want it to, you want the sound you want the instrument to respond a certain way, but sometimes it doesn't always know how you want it to respond. So you're always adjusting your body to make it do what you want it to do,
right?
You know, so that it pleases your ear, your intention, whatever it is, your conviction, you know. So that takes a long time, you know, to develop that, you know, that give and take with the instrument. And I think as you're learning how to make the instrument do what you want it to do, the instrument is also learning how to respond the way you want it to respond. So I think the more one-on-one time, the more time that you spend with the same instrument, you know, the easier it is to get to that next step. And sometimes if you jump around to a lot of different instruments, then, you know, it's hard to remember, okay, this instrument, I have to do this to make it do that. But then this instrument, I have to do this to make it do that, you know. And then, right. You know, so the more instruments you bring into the picture, then, you know, it's just more you have to remember, and then that's less time you're spending with the other instruments. You know what I mean? You know, you have to divide your time and your energy. So,
That seems to make sense. Well, Jake Shimabukuro will be here in Louisville on Friday, January 28th at the Baumhard Theater. It's a nice theater. It's a rather intimate, Jake, so I think you'll enjoy it. A lot of people here will probably be seeing a ukulele concert for the first time. Is there anything that you can tell us that what to expect, or will it be all sit down? Will it be a dance jam? What would you tell people to expect from you?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, this is still pretty new for me too. So a lot of times I go into these things not knowing what to expect, you know. So
you have a very good stage presence. Watching the video that you did with, was it the Marine Band that did Carol of the Bells?
Oh,
was
yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
That was amazing. And you had such a you were such the master of the stage there, it looked like.
Oh, no, thank you. Well, you know, I think the most important thing is I just want people to come and just have a good time. You know, that's all. I mean, for me, when I'm on stage, I'm pretty sure you can tell that's where I want to be. You know, I mean, I'm having such a blast and enjoying myself up there. So I just hope that everyone that comes to the show walks away feeling just as good, you know, or feeling that same joy that I feel.
Great. Well, we're having the Uke Jam after your concert, and I hope that you'll be able to stop by and say hello.
Okay, great. Is it near the venue?
Yeah, it'll be either in the lobby or in the bar, which is you know, part of the lobby of that area. So I know you like to meet and greet people, and definitely going to find a way to shake hands with you.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, well, I'll definitely be out there in the lobby after the show.
Excellent. Jake Shimabukuro, thank you very much. And Peace, Love, and Peace, Love, Ukulele is a wonderful CD.
Oh, thank you very much.
We'll see you on Friday.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you, Jay.
Talk with you soon. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.